Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast, a New York Jets audio experience hosted by me, Tyler, and we are back with another episode of the Game Plan Pod. A big one, as the NFL draft is tomorrow, Thursday, April 25th. Obviously, runs through Saturday. Kind of run down the schedule here of what we should look out for and what we'll be watching. So the draft officially starts at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. That's when the Bears first get announced on the clock. Runs to about 11, 11:30, and then to on Friday it starts at 7, runs to around 11. Saturday is 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. So, you know, a full slate, obviously, of NFL draft content coming your way. And the draft is always a fun time of year, right? Reading all the final mock drafts. I know Daniel Jeremiah just dropped his final mock draft, so we'll definitely go over that and kind of, you know, see if we notice any trends from throughout the league and throughout other analysts' mock drafts, you know, that were released in the recent days. But as of right now, man, the Jets are, you know, in a good spot. They're in a flexible spot. They don't have to make, they don't have any right move, right? It almost feels like they can do really whatever except for take kind of a D tackle, and they should be in good shape. Semi-trolling about the D tackle take, right? Because obviously the Jets do need depth on the defensive line, and you know, it's important, but as of right now, the Jets are definitely focused on three positions, you know, kind of in my eyes in the first round at number 10. Offensive line, tight end, and wide receiver. The latter of the two in wide receiver may be the pick there. It kind of seems like the Jets are trending towards a pass catcher. I mean, offensive line obviously is a need for the Jets, right? I mean, it's still a need. They need depth on the offensive line. If they don't pick one in the first round, I could genuinely see them just signing Bakhtiari, who's a free agent, and kind of just rolling with, you know, him as a swing tackle and kind of just hoping for the best there. But as you know, the weeks have rolled on, it kind of seems like the Jets are definitely more into the pass catcher realm. You know, that accounts for all the Brock Bowers smoke, everything that has come of that over the past couple of weeks. It seems like, you know, Bowers is a guy that the Jets seem to have a lot of interest in. Douglas touched on it on his pre-draft presser, kind of, you know, if there's a tight end worth taking, we'll take him, right? I mean, you know, there are scenarios where a tight end is not feasible to take in the first round, nevertheless at number 10. But, you know, the Jets feel they are in a position to kind of pick a, you know, a luxury player, right? And I kind of agree somewhat with Damian Woody's take in terms of, you know, taking a guy like Bowers is definitely a luxury, right? I mean, you're not taking a tight end back in 2019, right? I mean, you're picking for positions in need rather than best player available, it kind of feels like. Have the Jets gotten lucky in previous years, best player available being a position in need? Yeah, because their roster was not really, you know, filled out all that much, to be nice. But as of today, April 24th, the Jets are in a spot where they don't have to draft a player that may start right away, right? I mean, the Jets are in a spot where they can draft an offensive lineman who could sit behind Tyron Smith for the first couple of weeks of the season. Tyron goes down for a game or two. Knock on wood, it's only a game or two. And this rookie steps in there, right? A very highly touted rookie. You know, Atelice Fuaga, Troy Fatanu, and Olufoshanu. Joe Alt, you know, however many guys you can name off the top of your head that are going in the early first round, the Jets can do a lot at number 10. And, you know, I've heard, obviously, throughout recent weeks that we are, you know, sort of targeting a trade up, targeting a trade down, that the Jets have been in talks with other teams. This is not sourced info privately by myself. This is kind of what's been out there. Reading the tea leaves, things of that nature, you know, on X and stuff like that, it kind of seems like the Jets are definitely interested in, you know, executing a trade up or down for a player. The Jets are currently sitting at around $2 million in cap space. That is coming after the Zach Wilson trade to the Broncos. We will touch on that later this episode. But obviously, restructures are going to need to be made to fit this draft class, this draft class's salary, around $12 million. The Jets are, you know, the Jets need to fit the draft class. You know, they still have contracts that they could restructure. Tyler Conklin, Quinnen Williams, DJ Reed, JFM. There are still contracts that can be restructured for the Jets, and I'm sure they will restructure at least two out of the four of those guys before the regular season. But if we're talking solely on draft picks and not really worrying about, you know, player salary and anything like that, you know, if the board were to fall in a way that, you know, you have the four quarterbacks picked in the top 10, Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy, say, you know, so a team trades up for J.J., and, you know, that's number 8, number 9, wherever. Bound to have at least one of those wide receivers hopefully fall in number 10. I know MHJ, Marvin Harrison Jr., expected to be picked at number 4 to the Arizona Cardinals. Malik Nabers could go to the Giants, could go to the Chargers if they were not to trade down. Odunze is the big pick here. I think, you know, if the Bears were to take a defensive lineman or an offensive tackle, Odunze would be there for the Jets and, you know, kind of walking into Daniel Jeremiah's final mock draft here. He has Rome Odunze falling to 10. And, you know, I usually take mock drafts with a grain of salt from most analysts and, you know, network guys. Daniel Jeremiah is, I kind of pay a little extra attention to because he's been kind of spot on. And he's kind of really, you know, carved out a role for himself in being this draft expert, draft predictor. Peter Schrager as well, and his mock draft drops tomorrow morning. I'm very, very intrigued to see who he has the Jets taking. I think I saw on X that Schrager said on a podcast that it was Malik Nabers that he has the Jets taking. I'm not sure if that's executing a trade-up. It probably is, but as of right now, the public mock draft that is out there is Jeremiah's final mock, which has the Jets selecting Rome Odunze. I love it. You know, Rome is kind of my number one guy for the Jets at number 10. Obviously, if Nabers does not fall and, you know, Alt is picked at number 6 or number 5, I'm definitely going all in on a guy like Odunze, and I think, you know, the Jets should too. At wide receiver, the Jets have Garrett Wilson, who's sustained health, knock on wood, and, you know, is one of the best receivers in the league and is going into year 3 here. They have Mike Williams, who, you know, unfortunately has a history of injuries, unfortunately has an ACL tear that he's currently recovering from and should recover from by week 1. The rest of the depth chart is, you know, questionable, right? I mean, you have Xavier Gibson, your slot guy, your return guy, Jason Brownlee, you know, another guy who can potentially carve a larger role for himself if there's a depth piece, but, you know, other than that, you're kind of relying on Garrett Wilson, who's outstanding, right? And you want to get him more help so you can move Garrett around and not feel exposed on the outside. And Mike Williams, right, who's an amazing receiver. He just needs to stay healthy. So, you know, if the Jets take a guy like Odunze, first of all, you're talking about one of the best, you know, receiver cores in the NFL off the bat. I mean, Garrett Wilson, Rome Odunze, and Mike Williams is by far one of the best receiver trios in the league. I don't think that's arguable. I think it's top 3 for sure. But, you know, the Jets are in a spot where they could take that receiver. They could take a guy like Odunze and feel very comfortable going into round 3. Because obviously they don't have a round 2 pick from the Rodgers trade last year. Happy anniversary to that, by the way. This is actually a year from the Rodgers trade a year ago. So, I mean, that's pretty awesome looking back on that. Definitely executed that to perfection. If you're Joe Douglas, you didn't have to give up a first-round pick, but hopefully Rodgers does play more than 4 snaps this year so you can get your money's worth. But anyway, I think that the Jets are in a spot to kind of not feel guilty taking that wide receiver there, not feel guilty, you know, not taking a lineman and kind of rolling with a mid round player and Bakhtiari, if you go that route. I don't think that's a bad thing. And I think the Jets can, you know, comfortably do that, knowing that Aaron Rodgers has Tyron Smith, John Simpson, Joe Tippmann, AVT, and Morgan Moses, you know, protecting him in front of him. So, and decent depth, right? I mean, you have Max Mitchell and Carter Warren at your tackle. Believe Wes Schweitzer is still under contract. Could use a backup center. So, I mean, the Jets are in a spot where they will make more moves, definitely, after the draft. They have to clear up cap space, as I said. They have to get a few more depth pieces from the later tail end of free agency. But, you know, as a first round pick, I'm going with Odunze, right? I mean, I think he is the perfect complement to Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, and I think Aaron Rodgers would be jumping for joy if he got Odunze. I don't remember the last time, you know, Rodgers had a wide receiver picked in the first round while he was on the Packers. I don't think ever. So, I mean, you know, you're kind of, you know, heading into foreign waters here where you're kind of thinking like, wow, if we get Aaron Rodgers, these three guys, and the line that we put in front of them in this free agency and still adding to it post-draft, I mean, come on. You know, it's a no-brainer. And I know I've seen the Bowers talk, you know, constantly over the last few weeks. I'm not the biggest fan, honestly. I'm not the biggest fan of picking the tight end there. I like Bowers. I think he's a very talented player. And this may come back to bite me, right? I think, you know, Bowers has a very good chance of being the Jets pick at 10. He's elusive. He's very multifaceted. And he's, you know, versatile, right? He can block. He can, you know, be dirty in the run game. He can, you know, catch passes like everyone, right? No other. It seems like Brock Bowers is definitely a guy who the Jets would be interested in, right? He's kind of the prototypical Joe Douglas guy, where he's coming in instant starter tight end, pairing him with two good players in Tyler Conklin and Jeremy Ruckert. So the Jets instantly have one of the better tight end rooms in the league. And, you know, I just think, you know, I think Odunze rounds this offense out a bit better than Bowers does, if I had to put it that way. And I know there's going to be, you know, disagreements. I mean, that's fine. That's healthy to disagree on this. I come draft night, whoever the Jets pick, I'm going to, you know, definitely validate the pick in my own head and then react to it on this podcast, right? I mean, it's not going to be any different. I'm not going to trash on whoever the Jets pick. It's not in my blood. It's not in my nature to draft, you know, kind of trash on an initial Jets draft pick without seeing them touch the field, right? I mean, it's just not fair. So, with that said, I think the Jets would be, you know, pretty smart to try to round out that receiver room heading into round three. And, you know, at 8 o'clock tomorrow, the Jets actually probably aren't going to pick until around 9:50, or 9:30. I think it might be. So we'll have some time. But you know, kind of just going through the picks, it's always fun to see who gets picked in the top five. How many trades are there going to be this draft? I know Peter Schrager posted on Twitter that he could see up to 10 trades happening, between picks. I think it was like 5 and 10 or something like that. That's absurd. I would not doubt the Jets trading at all. Like, I think that could, you know, an easy possibility for the Jets. I mean, Joe Douglas has executed a first-round draft trade in a couple of his drafts, right? So, I mean, the Jets are in a spot where they could definitely trade back or trade up and be in a perfect spot. So I'm very excited to see how Douglas works the draft board. Very excited to see how he kind of manipulates the draft board on his liking. And, you know, it'll be always interesting to get that phone call, the phone call video to the draft pick as well. The same night, it's always, you know, it's a great moment for the player and, you know, whoever the Jets draft, right? I mean, Jets Nation is going to put their arms around them, support them. And it should be good stuff. So, that's kind of, you know, a draft episode. I feel like we've, you know, gone through the draft so much over the past couple of weeks. And, I really appreciate everyone sticking around for all these episodes. I want to touch on a few more things before I end it, but, you know, I think, just doing these episodes helps me kind of, you know, vent about the Jets on a weekly basis. So it's always helpful. Touching on the Zach Wilson trade before I head out here, you know, it's a trade to the Broncos for the Broncos 2024 sixth round pick. The Jets are trading Zach Wilson and a 2024 seventh round pick. So they kind of move up a couple spots, 50 or so spots in the draft this year, on trading Zach Wilson. Listen, I don't have any malcontent towards Zach. I'm wishing him the best. I don't wish harm or, you know, any foul play against Zach Wilson at all. I think he's, you know, he's a fine human being. I think, you know, did it work out here in New York? No. Right, it did not work out at all. I've seen people obviously on X calling him, you know, oh, the biggest bust of Jets history, biggest bust of all time. You know, regardless of where he ranks in Jets history in terms of the draft, you know, I hope he does well in Denver. I'm not gonna say anything other than that. You know, I hope he does well in Denver. There's no point in harping on a guy when he's off your team, unless it's Jamal Adams, right? That's my opinion. So, Yeah, I think, you know, the Jets were able to trade him. That's a thumbs up instead of releasing him and getting nothing. And also having a much larger cap hit as well. I know the Jets are splitting that salary with the Broncos. I believe it's 2.5 million the Jets have to pay him this year. He's on the dead cap for, I think, 8 million. So, yeah, it's still a lot of money, but it would have been, I think, 12 or so million if they just straight out cut him. So, save some money there and save some money by splitting the salary with Denver. So I'm going to put, you know, kind of a bow on the book there. I think this chapter of the Jets organization in terms of Zach Wilson, Elijah Moore, and all those draft picks, Michael Carter, it's done. We've moved on to greener pastures at this point, and I think you know, Jets fans are just ready to move on to the Aaron Rodgers era here to see if we can get a jump start on the 2024 season. Last week's episode, I forgot to touch on the uniforms, surprisingly. The Jets do have new uniforms, and it will be, you know, very exciting to see that new logo kind of forecasted over the draft stage when the Jets pick. But I'm excited to see the Jets, you know, new jersey getting hung out as well when the draft pick walks across the stage, and the new jersey on the draftee will also be very exciting. So, yeah, just wanted to touch on that before I ended the episode, as I forgot to mention it last week. And yeah, just make sure you keep on the lookout for more posts, you know, more good stuff. I know we have, you know, Jets insiders and stuff hopping on Twitter Spaces and good stuff like that. It's always best time of year for that stuff, right? But yeah, I appreciate everyone really following along. Seriously, I mean, this is such a fun time of year, especially, you know, kind of going back and forth with you guys with your picks and all that good stuff. So, I appreciate everyone kind of, you know, responding to my posts, liking them, enjoying them, and kind of, yeah, following along with the content over the past, I think, what are we on now? 7 years that we've been doing this. So, it's definitely been fun, right? It's been fun the entire journey. So, really appreciate everyone tuning in for this episode of the Game Plan Pod. Hopefully, you guys have a great rest of your week. I'll see if I can post a recap pod of the draft on Saturday or something like that. I may just wait till Wednesday, depending on the craziness of the NFL draft. It could be super crazy, and I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm pumping out an episode tonight. Or, you know, it might be not as crazy, and we could wait till Wednesday. We will see how it goes down. Very excited to kind of get into it and hope the Jets make the right pick, right? I mean, there's many directions you can go. You just have to hope that player works out at the end of the day. It's as simple as that. So, with that said, I am going to go ahead and end the episode here. I will see you guys next week or later this week, depending on the draft, for another episode. Hopefully, you guys have a great rest of the week.